Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly DFS podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm a PFW fantasy football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined by my co-host, Northwest Herald sports editor and PFW fantasy football contributor Kyle Neighbors. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how did week six go for you on FanDuel?
Well, you know, I usually get on here and rant about Larry Fitzgerald, and I could again this week, but I won't because I'm going to start ranting about Julio Jones. Not because I think he sucks, unlike Larry Fitzgerald, who does suck, but because the Atlanta Falcons and Steve Sarkisian, I don't know what they're doing. Can you please explain to me what the Atlanta Falcons are doing?
It's not a professionally run offense from the coordinator position this year. I believe I saw a stat this week that there are more than 70 wide receivers with more targets inside the 10-yard line than Julio Jones.
Yeah, he's averaging 7 targets a game. That's unacceptable. I mean, sometimes I feel like we don't give enough credence when there's coordinator changes in the NFL when we're looking at it from a fantasy perspective, because you're really seeing the ramifications of Kyle Shanahan leaving.
Yeah, bad coordinator changes.
Yes, bad. Yeah.
And Steve Sarkisian definitely qualifies under that. And fortunately, if you're on the DraftKings main slate this week, you don't have to deal with that question of do I play Julio and trust Steve Sarkisian or not. That said, this is the ugliest slate of the year, Kyle. I think you'll agree with me on that.
Yeah, it's not pretty. I don't see anything you can feel very confident about this week.
Yeah, I hate this week. Really hate this week. It's a struggle. Struggle to find value. Struggle. I mean, both sides, I think, did a nice job with pricing. It's pretty tight, and I like a tighter cap. But unless something opens up, we're really going to be taking some chances this week as far as value plays, I think.
Yeah, like I was saying off the air, I've been trying to go through and find some, and every time I think I found something, I ended up poking a hole into it. And, you know, not just a small one, but a pretty good one. I think it's going to be really tough this week.
All right. Well, I want to start with three guys, and I kind of want to ask, you know, what are we doing with these guys this week? Because I think these are three guys that may be popular, maybe perceived as value, or maybe even sleepers. But I'm interested to get your take on three guys specifically. And I want to start with Brett Hundley, the new Packers quarterback now that Aaron Rodgers is out. He is definitely underpriced, I think, for the matchup. But do we trust him in a situation at home with a full week to prepare, but against a Saints defense that suddenly looks pretty decent in the secondary? I want to know where you're at with Brett Hundley this week.
Fade. I don't want any part of this. He's going to be way over-owned from the sound of it. He didn't look good last week. Like this idea that a guy that hasn't played any meaningful football since 2014 with a week of practice and all of a sudden going to step in and light the world on fire is silly. Will he probably beat value at 6,500? Yeah, but with the way this week is setting up with so few value plays, I guess I can see that route. As a tournament player, I don't see any way he gets over 20 points, and I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see a way that he just blows up in this spot.
Yeah, I don't see a blow up spot. I think he's cash game eligible, but
yeah, I understand
that's
that,
the limit.
But,
yeah.
People at some point, we're going to have to wake up on the Saints secondary. They've made a lot of changes.
Marshawn Lattimore is legit.
Yes. Yeah. He looks great. You know, they played great last week. Now, obviously, they're not going to have three interceptions every week, but they're racking up sacks. Obviously, not the secondary, but they're getting pressure up front. Green Bay's offensive line has not been good. I actually like the Saints defense.
Yeah, and here's the case against Hundley. The big knock on him coming out of UCLA is that he was pretty terrible under pressure, and the Saints are one of the top teams in the league in sending pressure. That's what they opt to do. That's how. One of the reasons why they've been able to be so successful on defense this year, in addition to a better secondary, is they're just better at pressuring the quarterback. Green Bay's offensive line, though healthy right now, has been banged up. So I think Hundley at best is a cash game quarterback and does not have that tournament ceiling. You know, on DraftKings, you know who's the same price? Tyrod Taylor. Just play him.
Yeah. Well, I I'm not a fan.
If you're debating between the two,
I don't know what he is on DraftKings, but on FanDuel, just go with C.J. Beathard. He's the same price as Brett Hundley. The Dallas defense has given up at least two passing touchdowns every week since week one, when Eli Manning couldn't do anything. And I think San Francisco is going to be behind in this game, and that Beathard's going to be throwing the ball.
All right. Well, we'll get to some of our favorite quarterback plays in a little bit, but I like the Beathard call. Next guy I want to ask, what are we doing with, is a guy in the London game this week who was resurrected after a trade. And I had zero shares of him. I don't know anybody that really played a lot of him, but Adrian Peterson, man, he looked good against a Bucs defense that I thought was okay, but clearly is in some danger here. 134 yards and two touchdowns for Peterson last week. Now goes to London for the second time this year, by the way. I think he's one of the first players to ever do that against a Rams defense that you can run on. Is it point chasing if we put Peterson back in the lineup with his salary increase?
I'm going to let you start with this one. What's your thought? Because I'm torn, because I don't think Adrian Peterson is any good, but the Rams run defense is horrific.
So I don't want to, but
I get that.
Yeah. Like I'm fighting bias this week when it comes to Adrian Peterson, because I thought he was absolutely washed, but I think the Saints really couldn't have been a worse situation for him the more I think about it, because every time Adrian Peterson came into the game with his limited snap count, you knew where the ball was going. They weren't bringing in Adrian Peterson to block. They weren't bringing in Adrian Peterson to be a dummy. They weren't going to throw to him either. You knew it was going to be a run when Adrian Peterson came into the game for the Saints. Now he's the lead back in Arizona with a creative play caller in Bruce Arians and a guy who very clearly looked like he still had something left in the tank as long as he was getting carries. You can run on the Rams defense. You know, there's a little bit of narrative, I think, with the London thing going because he was so terrible the first time. I don't want to play Adrian Peterson, but I think I'm going to play Adrian Peterson.
There are some guys in a similar price range that are a few hundred bucks more that if it comes down to, I'd like to get up to, if for some reason I can't, if I just have to go with Adrian Peterson, I'm not going to feel awful about it, but I think people need to have low expectations. Like, he's not going to score two touchdowns, most likely. He's not going to go for 100 yards. If he can get you 75 yards and a touchdown at 6,300 on FanDuel, you're probably going to be happy with it. I don't see another 25-point day coming from him. He's just he's a zero in the passing game. I think if you get 13 to 15 points out of him, you should be happy with him this week.
Yeah, there's some interesting guys in the price range. Carlos Hyde's 100 bucks more on DraftKings. You've got, you know, Alvin Kamara if you want to go that route. Derrick Henry if it turns out DeMarco Murray is not healthy enough to play, which Mike Mularkey finally copped to after practice this week. So there are some interesting guys around there, but I kind of like him. I don't want to, but I think I'm gonna end up playing him.
You know how I feel about this Arizona offense in general, so
it's just a big void for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, the last guy that is interesting to me is LeSean McCoy. He's 7,400 on DraftKings, and everybody knows he hasn't hit the end zone right. He hasn't hit the end zone this year, so he's kind of due. He's at home, favored, playing against the Tampa Bay defense that we just discussed, resurrected Adrian Peterson from the dead. So there's no reason why McCoy's in one of the best spots he's going to be in all year. But this is still a guy who is averaging like 3.5 yards a carry. He's not efficient. He's getting the targets on a PPR site like DraftKings. He's a little more valuable. I'm more and more concerned about the system that he's in, that it just doesn't breed enough success for McCoy to absolutely go off and have one of these amazing games. I want to know where you're at with LeSean McCoy this week.
Well, I tell you what, if the general public is taking that kind of thought process that you just described there, then I'm going to be way overweight on McCoy. If I think he's going under-owned, then I'm firing him up. One, I think this is a perfect setup for him. Tampa Bay run defense has been bad. It's going to continue to be bad here until they get healthy, and it doesn't look like they're going to get back to health this week. The Buffalo defense or Buffalo offense has been considerably better at home the last few years, and they don't really have a choice but to give him the ball. I was interested in Jordan Matthews this week, actually, as a cheap flyer, but they admitted today that he's not nearly as far ahead in their he's not nearly as far ahead in his recovery as they hoped he would be at this point with his thumb. I don't see a way that LeSean McCoy doesn't touch the ball 25 times in this game, and against this defense, that's more than enough opportunity to put up a big day.
Yeah, one of the projection sites I'm looking at right now has McCoy as the highest owned running back this week at 25%.
Okay, well, let's see that. Then it's a different conversation because I think there's too much value in the middle tier of running backs this week to end up on a guy that's going to be that owned that is yet to score. Let's see. Outside of he put up 18 points on FanDuel in week one, and he hasn't put up more than 12 since. So if you're going to say he's the highest owned guy, I'm probably going to fade him.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, that's an interesting take. I don't know where I'm going to end up landing on McCoy. There's a good case for and a good case against. So projection and ownership may be the deciding factor on that one for me. So let's move on to some of our favorite plays. Kyle, why don't you start with some of your favorite plays at quarterback over on FanDuel?
I don't really have favorite plays this week. It's just
guys that you're sort of minorly interested in.
Yeah, I guess. I think. Let's see. My heaviest exposure, I think, is probably going to be to Dak Prescott and Marcus Mariota. Mm-hmm. Love Dak in this spot against San Francisco. Mariota. I mean, we've seen a quarterback continuously go off against Cleveland. That's going to continue this week. See, now I have to make the decision that you don't this week with the Sunday night game. Tom Brady and Matt Ryan. I can already tell you that I'm just avoiding the Atlanta offense. I don't trust what they're doing. I don't think it's going to get any better, and I don't care what they say about getting Julio Jones the ball. I'm just not dealing with it. Now, I do think there's a fun case to be made for Tom Brady because New England's defense is clearly showing that they're not going to stop anyone, and Tom Brady's just going to throw all day long.
Yeah, I think if you can get up to Brady, go get him.
Yeah, I think it's possible this week. The problem is to get up to Brady, you really got to find some. You got to find some value at wide receiver, and there's just not a lot there this week.
Yeah, in case of going to Brady, it's paying up to be contrarian. If you start with Tom Brady, I think you're naturally going to have a different lineup than a lot of other lineups out there.
So over on DraftKings, what do you like at quarterback?
Yeah, I'm with you on Dak and Mariota as the guys I'm going to have the most exposure to. Definitely on the main slate. On the Thursday to Sunday slate, I think that's probably still the case, but I'm going to find a way to get some Matt Ryan in there just because New England keeps giving up 300-yard passers, and Matt Ryan, you know, he's got all the narrative working for him, but let's look at the numbers, and Matt Ryan is in a great spot. I'm going to fire him up again and see what happens. On to the Monday night game, I like Carson Wentz and Kirk Cousins, and I think that game could really shoot out. I think they're both in good spots. If you want to go cheaper, I mentioned Tyrod Taylor. That's probably the guy I'm going down to, but I do like C.J. Beathard in this spot. He got a lot of points against a prevent defense last week, but Dallas does not have a strong defense at all. So I think Beathard is, if you're going to go, you know, bottom barrel, that's probably the guy to look at if you're looking to spend almost minimum salary.
Yeah, I think there's a better chance he goes off to get to 25 points than Brett Hundley does. That's just me though. Which, considering the fact that they're very similarly priced on FanDuel, I think Hundley's going to be highly owned, and I think Beathard's going to not be owned at all. I'd rather take the shot on C.J. Beathard.
Okay. All right, let's move on to running back. Is Le'Veon Bell just a must-play from here on out like he was last year?
No, because there's never a great reason not to play him, I guess. He's all the way up to 9,700 on FanDuel. He's getting back to the price he was at last year. And, I mean, you know what you're going to get, right? It's not bad. Like, you're going to get a pretty good floor But he's got to really hit 25 points at least to reach value. I don't know. What are you going to do over on DraftKings with him?
I'm going to try and find a way to get him in because he's still only 9,100. Last year, you know, when he was really at his apex, he was more than 10,000 every week. So I think I'm still getting Le'Veon Bell underpriced on DraftKings.
At home against Cincinnati, huh? Man, I don't know. I don't know. It's not that I cross them off right away. I just think there's some guys in the 7,000s over on FanDuel that I really like this week.
Who are some of those guys that you really like over in the 7,000 range?
Well, we said McCoy, but as we were saying, I'm a little concerned about about his ownership. Although I should say, when I talk about the ownership, I made that same kind of argument about Mark Ingram last week. And, you know, here's the thing. How much should we really take ownership into account when we think that there's going to be when we think that someone is due for touchdowns? Like Mark Ingram, it was so obvious last week. He was due to get into the end zone. He already was getting red zone carries. It was only going to go up, and I still was dumb enough to fade him. So that's what I'm worried about with McCoy. Like, am I going to worry about ownership too much on a guy that's probably going to end up getting in the end zone here soon?
If you're convinced a guy is going to potentially be the number one guy at his position, regardless of price, which it sounds like McCoy's in that conversation for you, you know, with the exception of Le'Veon Bell, I think Bell is almost always going to be that guy. But you know, with the exception of that guy, if he's going to be in that top two, I think that's when you go overweight on the field. Where okay, he's going to be 25% owned. I'm going to double the field and he's going to be on half my lineups, or I'm going to go 75-80% in just so I have more than the field. I think that's, if you're convinced on a guy, then that's where you go with him.
Okay. So after saying that, I have two guys right under him I really like, actually. Melvin Gordon at 7,700. The Denver defense is going to continue to funnel passing attempts to the running back. Gordon is getting Le'Veon Bell type usage here the last few weeks. I think it's going to continue. And
he's underpriced.
Yeah, absolutely, he's underpriced. I was surprised to see his price come down. He was in the mid eights last week, and I know he's going to be playing Denver this week. But I thought it was silly that they dropped his price down by almost a thousand. And I like Mark Ingram again this week. I think that he's going to be targeted a lot, 6-8 times. He's still going to get 15 to 20 carries. And outside of that, there's a few cheaper guys. I think you can make a case again for Jerick McKinnon. You mentioned Carlos Hyde. I like Carlos Hyde in this matchup. I'm terrified that we're going to have him benched again. And just under him, Doug Martin's had terrible game flow the last 2 weeks. I think this game's going to be more competitive. Jameis Winston's probably not healthy. I think this might be the week that Doug Martin goes off.
I kind of like the Doug Martin call, and I'm with you on Gordon. Gordon came down $800 on DraftKings because of the fear of the Broncos matchup. And as we saw on Monday night, you know, with that Broncos game, or Sunday night, I believe. Either way, you're not afraid of the Broncos' rush defense at this point.
No, I think it's overachieved early in the season, and like I said, the Broncos are going to shut down perimeter receivers. I just think there's going to be a ton, not just for Melvin Gordon, but for Hunter Henry over the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm with you on a lot of those plays. Especially, you know, Ingram and Gordon. I got a low owned guy that is high priced. That if you got the guts,
hold on.
If you got the guts,
let me see. Let me guess. Todd Gurley.
No, not Todd Gurley. Oh. I like Gurley though.
I don't. I'm done with Todd Gurley.
Gurley's got the volume. But he's being priced like he has the volume now. So I'm not going to have a ton of exposure to Gurley.
Okay, so who is it?
CJ Anderson.
Oh no, no,
yeah,
no.
He was awful in a matchup that did not go his way. You know, he didn't play as many snaps, but the Broncos were having to throw because they were behind against the Giants. One of the worst performances I've ever seen. The Chargers gave up Marshawn Lynch's best day as far as yards per carry. They gave up 100-plus yards to Wayne Gallman and Orleans Darkwa. LeGarrette Blount's only 100-yard game came against the Chargers.
No, I mean, I get it. The Chargers run defense is terrible. The problem
Broncos are going to have to run the ball, I think, a little bit with Sanders out.
The problem is, I think that the Chargers are going to be behind in this game. I mean, I'm sorry, not the Chargers. I think the Broncos are going to be behind in this game.
Which would lead towards that negative game script again. Because he's less than half the snaps.
Yeah. I mean, when they're behind, CJ Anderson just isn't on the field enough. I actually think this is I have a weird crush on the Chargers this year, but I think this is another spot where the Chargers are going to put up a lot of points. I don't trust Trevor Siemian to be able to keep pace. I think they're going to fall behind early, and you're going to see CJ Anderson on the bench again.
Okay. And you think they go that way through Gordon?
I'd say
Gordon and Henry.
Gordon and Henry, yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that's sort of the high-priced guy that I'm kind of like, oh, maybe.
You're certainly going to get him at low ownership after last week.
Yeah, it's guaranteed low ownership. That's the reason for the play. Derrick Henry, like I mentioned, if DeMarco Murray's going to be out.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm struggling finding cheap running backs. If you're playing the Thursday-Sunday slate, Deion Lewis, I think, is a guy you have to consider. Tevin Coleman, I think, is a guy you have to consider. Just because that game could shoot out and those guys are getting passing game work. Lewis is starting to reassert himself as the top passing down back. James White, I think you have to consider just based on watching the Super Bowl last year.
Matt Forte? Yeah. I mean, he caught 8 balls last week. I mean, if Powell's out again, I mean, Miami's horrific.
Yeah. You know, with Robert Turbin being out, I could consider Frank Gore against the Jaguars.
No.
Marlon Mack keeps getting himself benched.
The Indianapolis Colts offensive coaching staff needs to be fired is what it needs to be. He ripped off a 22-yard carry on his first carry last week, and he touched the ball one more time. I mean, when it's Robert Turbin and Frank Gore, and you're the Indianapolis Colts and have nothing to play for, just give the kid the ball.
Yeah. If Leonard Fournette's out, Chris Ivory becomes a good option, I think, too.
Yeah, I'm going to let people chase the Chris Ivory experience.
It's never fun. You're always on the edge of your seat on that one. But yeah, I think that's about it as far as cheap running backs this week.
Yeah, I don't see much else.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to wide receiver then. Who are some of the guys you got your eye on over on FanDuel?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that I think Dez Bryant's going to be the highest scoring receiver of the week. I really liked Mike Evans when I thought Jameis Winston was going to be able to get healthy by the end of this week. He hasn't even thrown the ball yet, and I'm starting to get a little concerned. I think the Buffalo defense is overrated. I pulled up A.J. Green against him a few weeks ago and was not disappointed. Which, speaking of A.J. Green, yes, just continue to put him in lineups as much as possible. How about you? The high price guys, who do you like?
I'm actually fading AJ Green this week. Historically struggles against Pittsburgh, against opponents that are familiar with him. So inside the division, historically tends to struggle. So I think I'm off Green this week.
He has abused Joe Hayden over and over though.
That's true. That is true. Joe Hayden in a Browns uniform, he has abused. Yes. We'll see. I'm with you on Dez. I think Dez is the play this week, and I like you. I was with that. I was really on Mike Evans early this week, and until Jameis Winston throws a ball, I'm not as excited about it. I think Michael Thomas, after a really really disappointing day last week at home, I like him at Green Bay against that secondary.
Yeah, if I continue to get the feeling that he's going to be under-owned, I'm going to be firing up a lot of Michael Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. If Stephon Diggs is out, Adam Thielen almost becomes an auto play for me with the amount of targets he gets. Everything funnels to him.
Yeah,
on a PPR site like DraftKings.
I just don't want to have anything to do with that game. I think it's just ugly. You know who I don't like? Larry Fitzgerald. Just saw his name pop up there.
How about that? You know what? We're actually on the same page on that this week. I'm not playing Fitzgerald this week.
Good. I'm never playing Larry Fitzgerald. I don't care if you told me he was guaranteed 20 points. I'm not doing it.
I like the Tennessee receivers this week. Rishard Matthews and Eric Decker. I know, you know, Jason McCourty is actually like the number one graded cornerback on Pro Football Focus, but he doesn't really shadow. although he did shadow DeAndre Hopkins last week. So if you can figure out which wide receiver of Matthews and Decker is going to see more McCourty and just play the other one, I think that's a good idea. I think it's going to end up being Matthews seeing less of him. Okay. So I think Matthews and Decker are decent plays.
Yeah. I think if you're going to go the route with Mariota, that I think this is certainly a ceiling week for Rishard Matthews. Man, I really hope the field is overweight on Julio Jones. I want them to go into that one and just feel my pain.
A cheap guy like Robert Woods. I've been making money all year targeting Justin Bethel, and until the Cardinals pull him, I'm going to take the wide receiver that he's facing. Okay. And Robert Woods is 4,000 on DraftKings.
Ooh, yeah, he's not that cheap over on FanDuel. I think he's like 58. I haven't quite looked at him too much. A few guys. If you're not going to go the Saints defense route, Davante Adams, I mean, he just keeps catching touchdowns. I think the Packers are going to be behind in this game. I think they're a 6-point dog at home against the Saints, which is crazy to think, but here we are. Love Pierre Garçon. He's going to get in the end zone one of these weeks. He's just getting way too many targets. And then if you are going to play someone from the Falcons, I kind of like Taylor Gabriel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good spot.
Yeah. I mean, the Patriots have not been, for as many passing yards as they're giving up, they've not been terrible against number one receivers. And I expect Belichick to do his best to give some bracket coverage to Julio Jones to try and take him away.
Julio had went for less than 100 yards in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So if you want to use that as a template. Even though New England secondary has really gotten worse since then.
Yeah, they're bad. Yeah. So if Marquis Lee doesn't play, that is, are you interested in Allen Hurns?
I am. I am interested in Allen Hurns if Marquis Lee isn't out there. Hurns has way better numbers when Marquis Lee is off the field.
Yes, and the Indianapolis secondary is bad.
Awful. One... So this is like bottom barrel maybe, but Juju Smith-Schuster, another guy that continues to get more snaps than Martavis Bryant. If it's not going to Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell, it's probably going to Juju Smith-Schuster. That's a dart throw.
Here's a minimum play on FanDuel. How do you feel about Benny Fowler?
Yeah. 3,200 on DraftKings, which is near minimum. Yeah, Benny Fowler's a guy that I think you have to at least consider.
I mean, Casey Hayward's going to shadow Demaryius Thomas. Benny Fowler saw 8 targets last week. Sanders is going to be out. I don't think you can count on him having another 2 touchdowns against the Chargers like he did in week 1, but I think he can be he's going to get to value at 4,500, and I think he can give you a nice 12-point day.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it would be hard not to, really.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's close it out with tight end. Kyle, who are some of the guys you're taking a look at tight end over on FanDuel?
So now we finally found a position that I like.
I like tight end, too. Double tight end week, maybe.
I'm not going to tell you to not play Gronk because he's just fantastic all the time. Austin Seferian-Jenkins, we've talked about him the last few weeks. Just keep firing him up. I think he is he's second in tight end reception since he came back into the lineup. Who else? Told you Hunter Henry, love him. Delanie Walker, Cleveland defense, just bleeds points to tight ends. Anyone else?
Jimmy Graham.
Oh, yes, Jimmy Graham. I looked right over him. I was looking at Safari and Jenkins and Walker at the same price and looked right over Jimmy Graham. Yes, the Giants are bad.
They cannot defend the tight end at all. Graham has been seeing an increase in market share. I think Jimmy Graham is probably the one guy I've started my lineups with this week, which is really strange to say. But that's where I've just been gravitating to Jimmy Graham. I like Walker. I like all the guys you mentioned. But without, on the main slate on DraftKings with no Gronkowski, no Ertz, and no Kelsey even, that's the top 3 guys off the board. I think it's Walker and Graham for me, and Henry.
I think it's Safarian Jenkins, Graham, and Henry for me. I'm a little bit worried about Delanie Walker this year. I know it's Cleveland, but he's
a little banged up.
Yeah, he's a little banged up, and he just hasn't had that really big game yet. Maybe that means it's coming, but...
Yeah, then this would be the game where it is. I'll throw one cheap tight end out there with Charles Clay out. I kind of like Nick O'Leary from the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it for over a year now that Tyrod loves his tight end, so I don't have any problem with it.
All right, anybody else you're interested in over at tight end?
No, absolutely not. I think that about does it for me at tight end. Really quickly, go ahead and play the Buffalo Bills defense this week. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Okay, we don't make a lot of defense calls on this show, so I like it.
No, yeah, I don't think Jameis Winston's going to play. And I like Ryan Fitzpatrick to go ahead and give the ball away, so feel good about that one.
I'll throw one out there. I know I threw out C.J. Anderson, so this is total hypocrisy, but I kind of like the Chargers defense too.
Yeah,
because they're very cheap.
Yeah, I like the Chargers defense last week. They got some good pass rushers, and if they can get home, they can create some havoc.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that'll do it for the Pro Football Weekly DFS Fantasy Football Podcast. For Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solid. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.